Solo Senior Team Message is presented in this caregiver-centric podcast, providing an update on what's new and exciting across the campuses of Anlo Medical Center. Hello, everyone. I'm Jolene Francis, Vice President of Philanthropy and Communications. Welcome to the December 1st, 2022 episode of Anlo's Message. Today, I'm sharing the microphone with Chief Financial Officer Kevin Woodward. Kevin's going to share some updates on our financial performance as we head toward the end of the second quarter. Thanks for joining me today, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, Jolene. Thanks.
Good. Glad you could be here. So a few months ago, we discussed the basics of how finances work at a tax-exempt hospital. And I heard a lot of feedback from listeners that they found it informative. So today, what I'd like to do is dive a little deeper into some of the financial results that we are recording so far this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. At the time of this recording, we're just about to close out the month of November, which is going to force us to talk about the 4 months ending October of our fiscal year's financial results. Year to date, we've experienced modest operating losses of approximately $8.5 million. That translates to a negative 3.3% margin. That means the current financial performance really is that cash flows from operations are not at levels sufficient to support our debt service requirement, let alone our planned level of reinvestment in the organization around capital spend or capital expenditures. Capital expenditures being those to acquire, upgrade, and or maintain physical assets, property, plant, IT infrastructure, and the like. So at this point, if this is our trajectory for the year, there will be a bit of pressure placed on our balance sheet as it relates to our planned level of reinvestment in the organization, as well as even meeting our debt service requirement.
Okay. Interesting to hear that. You know, in previous episodes, we discussed how our census numbers affect our bottom line. So can you tell us what trends we are seeing with census this year and what we can learn from that?
Sure. Actually, utilization is what's impacting our current results thus far. We've experienced a significant change in service mix, and that being from inpatient services to outpatient services, not necessarily a shift of those services, but just a change in utilization. Inpatient utilization is down about 12% when you measure it by patient days or discharges when we compare ourselves the 4 months ending October of this year to the 4 months ending of October of last year. The inverse of that is being experienced on the outpatient side of the house, and outpatient services are experiencing approximately a 15% increase in utilization year over year. The result of this inverse relationship is that total revenues are approximately flat when we compare them to prior fiscal year for the 4 months ending October, that being about $260 million, where total operating costs are actually up about $16.8 million or nearly 7% year over year. Thus, this translates into modest operating losses of about $8.5 million.
Kevin, tell me a little bit more about utilization and how that's affecting our financial performance.
This fiscal year, we knew would be a bit of a challenge to really realize what the new normal would be or might be. And that being, you know, post-pandemic, post-campfire, what's utilization look like when we know that a modest amount of our population has left the area. I've heard numbers anywhere from 2 to 10%, a decline in total population in our service area as a result of the campfire. So that translates to average daily census as an example, right around 222 for the year to date, October. And we have to look back all the way to 2018, which is our fiscal year of 2018 pre-campfire, to see utilization measures at that level. So the new normal is substantially different than what we've experienced over the last couple, and thus having a significant impact on earnings and our ability to, in a somewhat of a quick fashion, flex the organization to what could be the new normal. And we say that with you know, looking at November, like I said, we're almost through the month of November. We're seeing census spike up, utilization changing. So it's hard to say the trajectory is what we've experienced the 4 months ending October. And so we're cautiously optimistic as it relates to utilization and what that translates to profitability for the organization.
And so again, 3 or 4 months in some cases doesn't a trend make, but we still have to assume that this could continue and make changes that are necessary to see us through the rest of the year. But I'm wondering also, in addition to the census numbers and how that's affecting our revenue, if you can tell us a little bit about how high inflation coupled with lingering supply shortages affects our overall cost structure.
I don't have any perfect examples of that, but we are seeing higher cost across the organization, whether it's commodity type medical supplies to IT support services. We're seeing repricing occur on the renewals of all those support agreements relative to the inflation that we're experiencing in the environment. We're seeing a dramatic increase in food service costs. So, you know, that translates into a higher total operating cost. And again, just year over year, the simple math is basically same or similar volumes in some sense when we take the relationship of higher outpatient services against the backdrop of lower inpatient services and our operating costs increasing by 7%.
So essentially, we're getting up from both ends. Our costs are up and our utilization is down. And that's just kind of a precarious situation to be in. And when we know, when we're looking for how we move forward for the rest of this fiscal year and into next fiscal year, we know we really have two options for improving our bottom line financial picture. And those are either growing revenues and managing expense. Those are really the only two levers we have. What encouragement or ideas can you give to our listeners to look for opportunities to do both?
Innovative thinking. That's an easy thing to say and a hard thing to do, but engaging our teams to thoughtfully review processes, you know, with a goal of becoming more efficient. Most of us in the departments that we're responsible for are those that we serve in. About 90% of the cost is labor. And so we really need to rethink the manner in which things get done, the level of work effort that we apply across the organization. Just doing something because we've always done it really isn't the answer for today. We need to use attrition as an opportunity for us to not simply refill positions, but to rethink the product that we deliver to the organization and how can we do it more efficiently.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And that would include, you know, those non-clinical areas as well. So, you know, a department that is a cost center rather than a revenue center, really looking at what it is we do, why are we doing it? Do we really have to do it in this environment? And see if we can, you know, manage our labor needs in that way. Just getting creative. I think it's something we all have to do and we should be doing anyway, but this kind of puts it to the forefront right now with the situation that we're in.
Yeah, I really, as you noted, spoke to, you know, support departments and patient care areas, certainly, you know, driving to be effective and efficient and meeting our KPIs for each of those departments, whatever that hours per unit of service is for your department. I mean, simply adjusting to volume and hitting our targets will have a meaningful impact.
I think it's going to take all of this working together and understanding that sometimes we might hear no from time to time going forward, but from each other. But that doesn't mean that we're not being supportive. It's just mean that we're being thoughtful about how we approach things. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners today, Kevin?
There are some really good news in the numbers. When you look at outpatient services, we do see a dramatic growth in cancer services, which is to be expected. Year over year, that service line is up about 30% based on volume numbers. We're seeing that in radiology services and low advanced imaging, not at that level, but certainly a modest growth. And basically in all clinic services, we're seeing year over year growth in the single, if not double digit area. So from a business perspective, you hope those encounters translate to procedures. And that's good for the organization as it means a margin to the mission.
That really does apply particularly to cancer services as well, which makes it really a thoughtful thing for us to do to continue with the new cancer center build, because that service line does produce margin to the mission to support the rest of the organization. So, you know, in case our listeners are wondering, why are we moving forward with that project? There's a long-term strategy there, and we really have to keep our eye on that. Moving forward, even as we're dealing with the shorter term issues that we need to address.
The business case behind the cancer center development suggested that we had a 40% market share, not because of competition within our service area, simply because about 60% of those in our community sought care outside of it. It wasn't because it wasn't within the scope or depth, breadth of services. It just that we weren't capturing that mark. And now we're seeing a dramatic change, and it's certainly time to recapitalize the cancer center. It is the margin to the mission outside of cardiovascular services. It's the largest margin producing service for the organization.
part of that has to be, we have to point at capacity, right? Physical capacity. We can only see so many patients in that space. So it really does rise to the top when it comes to that reinvestment. So, you know, the one thing I've been thinking about, and I'm going a little bit off script here, is that we have a lot of really smart people in this organization, really, really smart people. And I'm not just talking about you, although you are one of the smart people here, but I think together we're going to be able to get through this. A lot of hospitals across the country are dealing with it differently than we've decided to face it at this point in time. And I just really want to encourage everybody to be creative, be innovative, have discussions, talk with your coworkers, talk with your supervisors. We can figure this out. I mean, right. The smartest group of people in the county working for him.
Yeah. So, a healthy organization like ourselves, we're about 800 million top of the, you know, total revenue. Changing what we do by 1% produces an $8 million margin. We need about a $24 million margin to meet our debt service requirement. And after that is a level of performance that supports continued capital reinvestment. And we've seen margins well in excess of that in our past history. So it's certainly achievable.
I agree. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Kevin. I think we're out of time, but I appreciate your transparency and your agreement to come behind the Enlow microphone. We really do appreciate you very much. I want to thank all of our listeners for spending time with us and sharing this program with your colleagues and friends. And we'll talk again on January 1st when I'll welcome back CEO Mike Wildermuth to share some news and information important to you. Until then, this is Jolene Francis with a most sincere thank you to everyone at Enlow for caring for our community.